There are 6 human needs. These are so simple, but pay attention and listen. You got a piece of paper, you might write them down. First human need. This is not a desire, by the way, before I tell you. This is not a request. This is not something you want. This is the need that all human beings have. And that is, number one, the need for certainty. The need that we can be certain that we can be comfortable. The most fundamental need is certainty that we can avoid pain and gain pleasure. This is our survival need, in essence, isn't it? But I'll tell you something. This is a humongous need. This is one of the most fundamental needs that human beings have to have just to be able to live their life. I mean, think about this for a moment. Have you ever had a moment in your life when you felt like you had total uncertainty? Like you had no idea what was going to happen and it freaked you out inside? You felt completely unstable because of it? I know people who live in Los Angeles know what I'm talking about when there was that earthquake. Now listen, when all of a sudden you're not sure whether the floor is going to hold you up or the ceiling is going to stay up above you, nothing else matters. You can't function except to think about how you're going to survive. This becomes your primary need above all else. Because for most people, certainty equals survival. It's that important to our lives. You know, as this stuff started flowing through me, I began to realize, oh my gosh, no wonder I don't feel like myself. You know, I'm, for the first time in my life, I'm missing my certainty. You say, well, Tony, why would you miss your certainty? I mean, you're on such a roll. All these people responding to you. There are people flying in from 28 nations to hear what you have to say. That's got to make you feel like you're somewhat certain about what your life's. But you know what's interesting? I had a friend that I talked to who told me about this doctor that does these great measurements of all the organs in your body. And it was just a totally holistic thing. And he measures your body to find out the age of your organs. In other words, you might be chronologically, you might be 35 years old, but your liver might only be 25 years old because you've really done a good job. You haven't drunk a lot of alcohol, you haven't abused your body, or if you have been abusive, you might have a 50-year-old liver as an example. So I thought it was fascinating. I'm always looking at interesting ways of measuring and improving and so forth. So I went to see this guy. And so I did all these tests with him and everything else, and he said, God, your organs are in great shape and everything else, and he did some just standard blood tests and so forth. And then I just forgot about it because I had most of the measurements right there. And he said, boy, you're in an amazing level of health. You've got an amazing level of vitality. You know, your organs are in incredible shape. So I'm feeling really good about myself. And I don't think about it. I go on. I'm doing my stuff. And, you know, each day I get my messages and I look down and this doctor's called me. So I'm so busy. And so I asked my secretary, I said, would you please call him and tell him I'm really sorry. I can't get back to him. I'm really busy. But just send me the report and, you know, that'll be great. And so she calls him and tries to get back to him. And she says, he really says he needs to talk to you. You know, I said, well, just tell him I'm really sorry. I'm so busy, because I really was. So I said, you know, just ask him, please. You know, we can talk. Send me the report and then we'll talk. Because, you know, it's not that important to me right now. I got so many other things I got to deal with. So sure enough, I get home that night, late at night. I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And there on my pool table is a message. And it's from my secretary. And it says, the doctor says it's an emergency. He must speak to you. He will not talk to me personally. He said, it's an emergency. And I thought, what? And at first I got mad because you know what? I thought, what kind of message is that to leave for somebody? And there was no phone number, so I couldn't call him because it was 11 o'clock, 10:45, 11 o'clock at night. So I was mad at my secretary. I was mad at the doctor. I was mad at all the stuff. And then my brain went, oh my God, what could it be? What could it be? All of a sudden, what? Uncertain. I thought, oh, that's nothing. It's nothing. And I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? Worst that can happen would be cancer. Tons of people I've seen have had cancer. I've talked to people. I've watched people. I know why they turn around and see people eliminate from their body and I wouldn't have cancer. Maybe I was exposed to something, you know, radiation. Maybe I was exposed. My words are going through my head a million miles a minute, right? And all of a sudden I got uncertainty. So I get on the phone with the doctor the next day. And by the way, I said, I'm not going to freak out about this. There's nothing freaking until I know what it is. Maybe, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe he wants a ticket to a seminar. Who knows, you know? So sure enough, I get a hold of him the next day. And he says, I need to speak to you. I got him on the phone. I said, well, I'm here. That's why I'm talking to the phone. He goes, oh, I should speak to you in person. I said, I cannot come up to LA. I need to speak right here and now on the phone. Whatever it is, tell me what it is. Whatever you think it is. What's the deal? I said, I didn't come to you because I was ill. I was healthy. I came to you to see how healthy I was. He said, yeah, but I did this blood test on you. And he said, I have to tell you something, Tony. You have an immense amount of growth hormone in your body. I said, when did you get your first clue? You know? He said, no. He said, you don't understand. He said, you have a tumor in your pituitary gland. I said, excuse me? He said, you have a pituitary tumor. He said, I don't know that it's cancerous, but it's there, and it's stimulating your body to excrete all this growth hormone. I said, wait a second. I've been this big since I was 17 years old. I said, sophomore in high school, I was 5'1". I grew 10 inches in a year. He said, Tony, you have so much growth hormone in your body, you have this disease. And he gave me this wonderful label. And I said, hold it, because fortunately, you know, if you listen to the tape on certainty, uncertainty, I've learned not to get too certain too quick about anything, to I get many opinions before I make a decision. I said, hold it. How do you know this? He said, well, this blood test, and it has all this growth hormone. You have this much growth hormone, it means this. I said, so you don't actually know for certain that this is true, but you're telling me. He said, listen, I'm telling you, you have one, and we need to get you in here right away. He said, I think we're going to have to do surgery. I said, surgery? Surgery on what? He said, surgery on your brain. So you're going to do surgery on my brain based on one blood test? I said, are you crazy? And I started going nuts. He said, you got to take this seriously. You can't be in denial. I said, listen, I'm not in denial. I want all the facts, but I want the facts. I said, explain to me this test. He said, well, I can't explain. It's too complex. I said, try me. I'm a pretty intelligent guy. Walk me through it. I was getting madder and madder, right? Because I felt like he's like giving me the voodoo curse. And he said, well, I can't explain it to you. I don't thoroughly understand it myself. It's a new test. I said, you don't thoroughly understand. I'm managing myself. I'm like starting to get you where I'm going to scream at this guy, right? And at the same time, I want to hear what he has to say. So long story short, you might guess what this did to me. I thought, he's crazy. He's insane. And my brain goes, what if he's not? And for the first time that I can remember since I made the changes I made almost 15 years ago, I felt this emotion of uncertainty at a scary level, like uncertain whether or not I'm going to live a full and long life. And I was like battling in my head, and I really have a great deal of pride of how I control my focus, and I did a really good job, but I had my moments where it would pop back in. I thought, this is crap. I said, send me all the material. I want to read everything about it. I'm going to study everything about this and read it for myself. But you know what? I started reading all this stuff, and guess what? Have you ever read about doctors, for example, when they're med school? They start studying a disease, and sure enough, they find that they have all the symptoms. You start manifesting them. So I said, oh, I don't even want to read this because I'm starting to create all these things in my head. I got to be so careful here. Plus, I got to go on the road. I'm not going to buy into this. So I went on the road to the south of France. And that's where this all started. And that's where all this sense of uncertainty was. The end of the story is I certainly got a lot of variety in my life from this, as you might guess. I met a variety of doctors. And they all tried to tell me how significant and unique I was with this problem that I had. But I didn't buy into all that. And it literally took me traveling around the world to get to 5 doctors before I finally got to someone who made sense to me and who could prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt what I really believed, which was I was fine. I went and did an MRI. And I said, I don't want to put anything into my brain. I don't want to put any radioactive dye into my brain. I got nothing wrong now. We stick that in there. I'll have a real problem. So he said, okay, well, we have this non-radioactive stuff that'll make the picture show up better. He said, I'm on your side. I agree. We overtest. I agree some of the tests are invasive and create problems. He was a great doctor, he said. But when you go do the MRI, he said, if they see an abnormality so we can see exactly what it is, when they roll you back out, they'll give you this stuff that's non-radioactive, but it'll make it show up. And I said, all right, on that circumstance only. So I got put in this MRI. You want to talk about uncertainty? This build, this thing's shaking like crazy. You feel like I'm a little coffin being pushed in. I hope you've never had to have the experience. And sure enough, I'm in there for I don't know how long. The thing slides out. I'm ready to get off, and the guy says, don't get off. He said, we have to give you something. I said I wasn't going to take that. He said, you said you weren't going to take it unless there was an abnormality, and there is one. And I lay back down on the slab, and they push me back in the machine. And that's when you really have to practice everything you've learned, which I did. I said, I'm not going to get upset until I know exactly what it is, and whatever it is, I develop certainty by my faith. My faith that I'm here for a reason, I got a purpose, and whatever it is, I can figure a solution, I can make it happen. And if not, then I'm going to make sure however long I'm here, that I maximize it. I've done a pretty good job of that so far, I'll continue to do it. So I came back out, and then I had to wait half a day to find out what it meant. The doctor got me on the phone, and I said, so what's the deal? And he said, well, it's true, you've had a pituitary tumor, and he said, that's why you grew 10 inches in a year, because it put this pressure on your pituitary gland and released all this growth hormone, and that's why you exploded in growth. That's why you have these huge hands, huge feet, and that's why you exploded in size. But he said, but then the tumor infarcated on itself. Horrible term, infarcated, right? But I said, what does that mean? He said, it collapsed in on itself. It literally starved itself and disappeared. You're fine. There's a little tiny spot in there. He said that it could do something maybe. He said, you know, maybe we ought to operate. I said, wait a second, maybe I ought to operate. I said, do I have any symptoms? He said, no, nothing else shows that you've got any problem. I said, well, this must have happened 17 years ago. He goes, yeah, but, you know, just to be safe, you might want to go in and do something. So just go in there and, you know, cut it out just so you can feel certain that you don't have to worry about it. I said, I'm a lot more uncertain about you opening up my brain and messing with my pituitary gland. And so he was a really nice doctor, and he said, well, you know, you really consider. He said, the other thing you could do is you could take these drugs. And he said, these drugs will. I said, well, what are the side effects? And one of the side effects of the drugs is it makes you feel like you're sedated. And he said, you just take them for the rest of your life. I said, can you imagine me being sedated? I said, here's the power. Well, Welcome to Power Doc. Gosh. So the bottom line is I went to another doctor, and next doctor said he wanted to cut me open. I went through the whole thing. He said, yeah, but you can't take a chance. I said, why don't we just monitor it? But they kept saying, but, you know, even though it's infarcated, you have this high level of growth hormone in your body. And, you know, it's so high. It's at this huge level. And I forget what the ratio was they told me back then, but it's like, you know, 300% higher or 400% higher than other people. I said, well, I know people that are taking growth hormone, you know, so they get great muscles because it makes you young and keeps you energetic and keeps you strong. I said, well, yeah. I said, so looks like I got about $500 a day with the growth hormone here. Why would I get rid of that? Doctor started laughing. He said, but you got to take this seriously. I said, well, let's look. What would that do? He said, well, if it was out of control, your heart valves would get bigger. So we did the scan. My heart valves were fine. Went through all these things. He said, well, you still, just to be certain, you should just do this. Because after all, if you take the drugs, then you can be certain. If you have the surgery, you can be certain. I said, listen, I got my own certainty. That's what it would take you to be certain. And in the midst of all these things, I had tremendous uncertainty until I finally got it resolved by meeting with this one doctor at the end. And I was his last patient. He was 75 years old, genius doctor. He's one of the fathers of this study of pituitary. And I kept asking all these doctors, is it possible that because I put myself in this incredibly intense state, that by doing that, just like I know I can fire off my adrenal glands, I'm firing off growth hormone? And he said, absolutely. No one else, no other doctor in the whole country could tell me that. He said, Tony, the way you live stimulates growth hormone because of the demand you make. He said, listen, we've got people in their 70s and 80s who we're doing weight training with, both men and women. I said, don't tell me. I've read the story. I've read the articles. I said, you know, what it's doing is the demand they're making is causing growth hormone to be released, and it's keeping them young, and they're developing the same strength as 30-year-olds. He said, that's absolutely right. Only it's not only 30-year-olds, but as strong as 20 and 30-year-old men and women, people in their 70s and 80s. He said, you got a great gift. He said, but Tony, you know, he said, I gotta tell you something. He said, I'm into drugs. So he said, what I would suggest is drug you just to be safe. He said, if you go to a baker, they're gonna bake. You go to a surgeon, they're gonna wanna cut you. You go to me, I wanna drug you. He said, but you're pretty clear about what you wanna do. He said, listen, if you just wanna monitor this, he said, it's probably been 17 years, you're probably just totally fine. There seems to be no side effect in your body whatsoever. But if you want the drugs, he said, you know, I'd be happy to give them to you because it's something just to add certainty. I said, I'd much rather just monitor and see if there's any problem here. So I'm fine. But I'll tell you what, it took me forever. And you know what? It took me one more reference, and that was I had visited with Deepak Chopra, who's one of the most brilliant people I know in the world, and he's an endocrinologist. Why I didn't start with him, I'm not quite sure. I guess because I was off into the spiritual realm in the gap and not thought to go see him. But I talked to him, and he said, Tony, let me look at your levels. And he showed me the ratio. He said, Tony, he said, I've been an endocrinologist for 25 years. I got to tell you something. Anybody with this ratio, he said, this ratio is not extraordinary. I would never do surgery on somebody with this ratio. I would never give drugs to somebody with this ratio. He said, there are people the ratio 5 to 10 times this. And then we consider doing surgery. I said, everybody else is telling me I'm nuts if I got it. He said, Tony, there's natural variation. He said, this is probably just in the natural variation for your body. So finally, combination of new references, I was finally able to get certain again. And I've gone back now, and it's been 18 months, and had everything measured. Nothing has changed. I'm totally fine. But it took all that time to get there. But after a few people, I finally decided to enter not only getting evidence, but also a little bit of faith. Because you know what? You can be scared about crossing the street, and then you won't do anything there either. But I got to tell you something. I now know what it means not to have certainty, and it makes me appreciate what people are going through when they feel that level of uncertainty. It is a need. And if it's taken away, it's difficult. And by the way, no one can take it away. I took it away from myself. I could blame the doctor all day long. He's just trying to help me. He's doing what he knows best. He's doing what he's trained to do. But what I did is I started to create all these questions. And by the way, it's useful sometimes. I had to get the answer to the questions. That would be stupid just to say, oh, I'm certain and not look at it, not investigate. But it's equally stupid to keep asking a question forever, because if you keep asking a question, you're going to doubt it. If you say, well, what if I screw up? What if I don't follow through? You're going to create uncertainty and doubt. Not because there's something to doubt, but because asking about something over and over again creates the doubt. So if you want to have certainty, I'll tell you one of the biggest skills, getting quality information, getting multiple opinions, but I'll tell you the other thing that'll give you certainty, and that is making certain that you apply some of your faith as well. It's still the ultimate power.